out on his new CD, and he's going to sing for us this evening. Y'all, I don't know where he got it, because his mama sure can't sing, but I know it'll be a blessing to us tonight. All right, come on, kids. He stays up here with them, won't he? Come on, kids. All the rest of you, get up here. You ain't going to let that little fella out, do you, are you? No, no. Y'all got to sing good. Oh, they're not. They're in whatever you're going to do. Boy, take that song off that CD. Pay for this microphone. Sister Carolyn, come on. There you go. Walk. That's better. Amen. Wasn't that a blessing? Now, they're going to be getting ready for Christmas play, so they need to be here every Wednesday night. Even next Wednesday night, even though it's Thanksgiving week, they need to be here, so make sure they're here. Amen. All right, go ahead, sister.
Okay, I'd like to say this before I sing. When Danny had asked me earlier this afternoon if I wanted to sing this evening, this song came to my mind. I'm like, yeah, okay, this is what I'm going to sing. And then I thought, well, no, I'll sing this one. And I went flipping through my CDs, and it was like, bam, there it is. That's him.
Amen.
That song. That's him, because we are going to see him.
Right.
And I tell you what, I just about had a spell, because it was just like, you know, yeah, we know every day that we're going to see him. But you know how sometimes things just like, hello? And it was just like, oh, it was great. So anyway, I hope you enjoy the song. And just really listen to the words, because it talks in there about how, you know, there's going to be two people in the field, and one's going to be taken, the other's going to be left behind. And it's true. I mean, that's things that's really going to take place. So we really need to start looking at those that are around us and, you know, just really try to make sure that they're saved as well. I hope you enjoy it.
A voice out of heaven said, I'm pleased.
Him. Amen. And that's who we're going to see one day when we get to heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to talk about temptation a little bit tonight. Let's open our Bible to the book of James chapter 1. Is the great well-known scripture about temptation. And I know some of you sitting there thinking, oh boy, I sort of dread this because Brother Danny's going to get on my pet sin, whatever it is. It don't matter to me what your sin is. It don't matter to me. It's none of my business anyway. My job is to teach you the Bible and let God do what He's going to do with His Word. And I'm not trying to pry in your life tonight. I'm going to just teach you what the Bible says about temptation. And maybe it'll help you a little bit. We all know, you've heard preachers say this for years, it is not a sin to be tempted. Everybody's tempted. Temptation is not a sin. When you yield to it and give in, that's when you sin. Sometimes it's hard to know where you cross that line. Because the devil puts thoughts in your mind. You think, good night, that ain't right, Lord, and I plead the blood. And you think, how long do you think about it before it becomes a sin? If you think about doing something wrong or saying something wrong or acting a certain way or not doing something you shouldn't do. The devil ever put a temptation in your mind not to pay your tithes? Probably does. Probably does. He probably thinks, well, I give in other ways. I help somebody down here that needs help. I know that I wouldn't even plan on saying that, but it just popped in my head. But there's all kinds of temptation. Temptation not to give. Temptation not to pray. Temptation not to read the Bible. Temptation not to do good things, just like there's temptation to do bad things. That's why you hear me pray all the time, Lord, forgive me for stuff that I hadn't done that I should have done. Sometimes sins of omission are just as bad on us as sins of commission. Sometimes. I meet people every once in a while, and all they want to do is brag about all the stuff that they don't do. You ever met anybody like that? Well, I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do this, and I dress decent, and my hair's cut, and I do this, and I believe right, and I do it. All that's well and good, but they don't ever do anything. They don't ever witness. They don't ever try to win nobody to God. They don't never give. They don't never take a stand at work. So sins of omission, omitted stuff you leave off, can be just as evil as some sins you commit, stuff that you do. And you say, well, does the Bible say that? It sure does. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Buddy, I tell you, you start narrowing it down. All these preachers and stuff that preach about if you commit a sin, you're lost. Their definition of sin is way less than what our definition of sin is. Preachers that preach you lose your salvation, there's three sins: getting drunk, committing adultery, or robbing a bank. And you can do anything else, and that's just a little mistake. But in the Bible, there's a whole lot more sin than that. Pride is one of the worst sins in the Bible. Jealousy, gossip, all of these sins. You ever felt yourself tempted to gossip? Haven't you? You want to say something about somebody, and a little voice says, "No, you shouldn't say that. That's God." And you say, "You say, okay, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it." And then here it comes up again, and the conversation goes on. You think, "Should I? Shouldn't I? Should I? Shouldn't I?" You shouldn't. And you, I've done that. I've done that. Especially if it's somebody you're mad at, or you don't like, or they've said something about you. You want to get them back. And we got to learn temptation. The devil will tempt you to do something you shouldn't do. All right, let's look at James chapter 1 here tonight, and verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. "Blessed is the man." You want to be blessed of God? "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." That means you don't give in. "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." It did not say eternal life. It said crown. That's one of the crowns you get. You don't get eternal life by resisting temptation. You get eternal life by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. See, there are a lot of people say, "Well, if you don't resist temptation, you'll go to hell." That ain't what it said. It said you don't get that crown of life. Don't make it say something it don't say to teach something that's false. It said if you'd endure temptation, you'll get a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Man said one time, he said, "Well, didn't the Bible say God tempted Abraham?" It sure did. But it didn't say he tempted Abraham with evil. That's what that's talking about. God don't tempt nobody with evil. When he tempted Abraham, he was proving Abraham's faith. Sometimes God will do that. But God don't tempt nobody to sin. All right? Look at here. Said he tempted any man. "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." If it don't bother you, it ain't a temptation. "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That's the LSD in the Bible. Lust, sin, death. LSD. And that'll kill you. It'll kill you. So lust, you see something or you want something, you do it, or grab it, or steal it, or whatever you're going to do, and then it brings forth death. That's why people die. They sin. All these people say they don't never sin. When they quit dying, we'll believe them, won't we? They ain't gonna quit dying. They all die. Now, I'm gonna talk about temptation a little bit. And basically, the definition of temptation is this. You should know this, as long as y'all been going to church, most of you. Temptation, listen to me, is the proposition to satisfy a good appetite in the wrong manner. Basically, that's the definition of temptation. The proposition to satisfy a good appetite in the wrong manner. You're basically, most of our temptation is a good appetite, but you satisfy it in the wrong manner. For example, let's say I go to Golden Corral tonight, and I walk in there and I say, "Oh my goodness, look at this. There's steak, and there's fish, and there's barbecue ribs. I have no idea what they got out of it. I'm just naming off stuff." And I want that. It's a natural desire for me to want food, especially since I fasted today. And I think, it's a natural desire. Is there anything wrong with me wanting that food? Absolutely not. We're made that way. It's natural for us to want that. All right, I say, "Oh my goodness. Well, I walk over there and get me a spoon, and I start eating it. I just fill me up a plate, and I start eating it. I sinned." You know why I sinned? I took something that wasn't mine. I took something that wasn't mine. I stole it. Thou shalt not steal. That's what sin is. Sin is satisfying a good appetite in the wrong manner. You know why? You know why it's a sin? I didn't pay for it. It's not mine. Basically, sin is taking something that ain't yours. I heard Dr. Ruckman say one time, he said about every, he visited hundreds and hundreds of men in jail, and about everybody in jail, remember this, remember me saying this, and you'll get smart as life goes by. Everybody in jail got there trying to get something for nothing. Just about everybody in jail got there trying to get something for nothing. Trying to find a shortcut. Trying to get something without paying for it. Now, if I go and I pay my, whatever it is, $7.99, well, it's at night, it's more. If I pay my $10 or whatever and at $10.99, then I'm good. I can have anything in there. It's mine. I paid for it. But if I take it and it's not mine, it's a sin. I'm attempting to satisfy a good appetite, which I have, in the wrong manner. That ain't right. Now, if you'll think about it, all the sin out in the world, same thing. CEOs, company presidents, all of them trying to get something that they don't, that ain't really theirs. Getting something for nothing. You know what? Man goes in, he works with a bunch of pretty women. He says, man, I want one. What's wrong with a man wanting a woman? Nothing. That's a natural desire. But if he gets someone he ain't married to, it's a sin. Right? If he touches a woman in the wrong manner that he's not married to, he's taking something that ain't his. You know what's wrong with adultery? Adultery is taking something that don't belong to you. It's taking something that ain't yours. Fornication, it's taking something that ain't yours. You ain't paid for it. You ain't paid for it. Just like me getting that food without paying for it. If I pay for it, it's mine. You say, well, what I pay for it? Yeah, it's marriage. That's the payment. You pay it. And you pay too, brother. Amen. You pay for that woman. You pay for that man. There's a price to pay. If you pay the payment of marriage, it's yours. Have all you want. Do whatever you want to with each other. It's yours. But it's satisfying the same appetite in the wrong manner. Man goes out here and says, I want me a woman. I want that one right there. That's a sin. It's a proposition to satisfy a good appetite in the wrong manner. In the wrong way. That's why homosexuality is wrong. See, homosexuality can never be right. Ever. No, there is no way that it can ever be right. A man has a natural desire for a woman. A woman has a natural desire for a man. They can get married and God will bless it. But a homosexual relationship can never be blessed. Any, no way, shape, or form. I've had them tell me that. They'll say, are you telling me that I'm going to have to live without a sexual relationship the rest of my life if I'm right with God? And I said, yeah, according to the Bible, yeah, you do. Jesus did. Apostle Paul did. Others did. It ain't going to kill you. It ain't going to kill me. Listen, you say, and I've even heard of them saying, I'd rather burn in hell than give up my desires. Well, I hadn't, brother. I think you're out of your mind. I think you've lost your mind, brother. I mean, I'd rather starve to death, never eat a bite, never sleep a wink, and die with pins and needles stuck all over me than die and go to hell. I'm telling you, what temptation is a proposition to satisfy a good appetite in a bad manner. Now, let me say another thing. This is not even in my notes. I wrote it down this evening. I heard a preacher say this. Everything in the world that's bad is something good twisted. It's something God made good to start with, and the world of the devil has twisted it and made it bad, just like what I've been talking about. Adultery, all this stuff, stealing. Everything bad is something good twisted. Rock music. Let's think about rock music. We all know rock music's bad. Rock music's wicked. Rock music's of the devil. Rock music makes you think things, do things, feel things you shouldn't think, feel, and do. No doubt about it. Now, you know what it is? It's something good twisted. Music's a good thing. God made music. That song she sang a minute ago, that's Him. The song we sang earlier, Little Bryson singing, all these little songs. Them are wonderful. Them is a good thing. But the devil twists them. And Everything out there in the world that's bad is something good twisted. Did you know that God made music and God created music, but now the devil has taken it, and one of the strongest tools that Satan has now is music. Matter of fact, in Daniel, when they were going to bow down to that God, that 666 God with the three sixes all over it, it said, when you hear the sound of the cornet, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, six instruments played, they bowed down and worshiped. I believe that's a picture of the tribulation, and music will be a strong part of the way the devil gets people to the Antichrist. I mean, look at the internet, people. Everybody's been texting me this week because of that thing that's on the internet. There's two more things about me on the internet now, but they're good, thank the Lord. And these are just some that I know about. What is that thing? Satanic Antichrist? What is it? Does anybody? Satanic Antichrist Exposed. Satanic Antichrist Hollywood Exposed. And some guy's got a 30-minute video on there, and it's got me preaching all the way through it. I have no idea who it is. And it's had over 100,000 views. And somebody called me and said, Brother Danny, how does it feel to know you preach to 100,000 people? I said, I don't know if I like that or not. I hope the Lord can use it. But, I mean, guy's got an invitation on there and everything. And then there's another one called Hip-Hop. They sold their souls for hip-hop. They sold their souls for hip-hop. It's 30 minutes. And the last 5 minutes of it is me preaching on hell. I mean, I'm a throwing down. Preaching on hell. And it's got an invitation and people to get saved and everything. I have no idea who does that. I have no clue. It might be somebody in Russia. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. The devil's used that music. But God made it good. Does anybody want to say anything? Same thing true about drugs. Same thing true about drugs. You know, everything God made was good to start with. There's a good use for all drugs. And the devil has took it and twisted it. So you see what I'm trying to say? Everything bad is something good twisted. I don't even know what all these drugs are, but there's got to be a good reason for them. God made them. Even alcohol. Alcohol was used for medicine in the Bible. It ain't made to get drunk on. The devil twists it and people get drunk. Alcohol was used for medicine purposes. Paul told Timothy he had stomach problems. He used a small amount of alcohol, wine, whatever they call wine in that day, for his medicine. It is not used for a beverage. Nowhere in the Bible does God authorize or approve of alcohol for a beverage, except one place over there in Deuteronomy, and it's talking about in the millennial kingdom when a curse will be off of it, prophetically. So everything in the Bible everything in the world that's bad is something good twisted. Alcohol, drugs, rock music, anything else you can think of out there that's wicked, it's something God made good, but the devil twisted it. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not, but the devil counterfeits everything God has. He's so jealous of God that everything God makes, the devil counterfeits for it. Like Jesus, the Son of God. Ever since Jesus came, all you hear now is the Antichrist, the Satan's child, Damien, 666, all them movies that they made, this child of the devil, and the Beauty and the Beast, and all this woman having relationships with the devil, and the devil's child born in the 666, and all that. That's a counterfeit of the Lord Jesus Christ. You take the miracles of Jesus. The miracles of Jesus. Walking on water. You know what the devil does? He counterfeits that. Oh, these old crazy people like Chris Angel, mind freak guy, and everything. You know what he is? He's so jealous of Jesus Christ and his power, he's trying to counterfeit it. He's the devil's counterfeit. You take healing. There's a fake healing everywhere in the world, religion, everywhere. You take the resurrection. There's always been stories of people coming up from the dead and coming back alive, and vampires and zombies and everything, trying to mock and counterfeit the resurrection. The ascension of Christ, when Jesus went up into heaven. Levitation. Lady Gaga. or Nicki Minaj, all of them, Beyonce on her video, she levitates. They're trying to mock and counterfeit the ascension of Christ. The church, you know, the church for years and years and years, all there was stuff like this. People get together, they clap, they have music, they sing, they worship. You know what the devil's done? He has made rock concerts the church of our generation. And rock singers even tell you that. They say rock concerts are today's churches. One of those rappers, I heard him on one of those videos, he said, man, it's nuts. I don't know who he was. Might have been Kanye West, I'm not sure. Jay-Z or one of them guys. You know what that nut said? He's on there, he said, man, we are the church of today. We are the church. Times have changed. We're a church. He said, people come. He said, they dress up. They come. They wear their best clothes. They come. They wave their hands. They give their money. We sing together. We all get inspired. It's a spiritual experience. He said, if they was writing the Bible today, I'd be in it. That's what he said. He said, if the Bible was being wrote today, I'd be in it. I said, well, you in the King James already, Bob. The Bible said the fool said in his heart there is no God. He's all through there and don't know it. He said if they was writing the Bible today, he would be in it. Like he's one of the apostles or something. He might. You see how rock concerts are a counterfeit church. Love. The world has a cheap substitute for love. It's called lust. And that's all the movies, that's why you heard me say before, when's the last time you saw a movie, a Hollywood movie, that had a passionate love scene between somebody who was married? You won't see it. Because the devil's counterfeit for love is lust. And I'm telling you tonight, the devil has a cheap substitute. All right, let's talk about temptation just for a minute. If you want to say something, you're more than welcome to. Where does temptation come from? We know that it don't come from God. It comes from the devil. It comes from your flesh. It comes from evil companions. The Bible said every man is drawn away of his own lust. Yeah.
Okay, so it looks like Joel and I experienced the same kind of somebody coming in the mouth. And I have images of being back this way.
No, like you said, you filter it, you resist it. Well, that's what I said a while ago. I don't know where exactly that line is, but I God done me wrong one time, and I dreamed I was beating him up, and I woke up and said, Lord, forgive me, I shouldn't be thinking like that, you know, and everything. But if I sit around and think about that all way day, and I think about how I'd like to do it, and plan and plot and everything, even though I never do it. There's a time there when it does become a sin,
well,
even the way you think. Huh?
We
knew that was where you was headed. I understand. Sure. That's right. I personally believe if you fight it, and you plead the blood, and the devil keeps putting your head, you haven't done anything wrong. Where you drew wrong is where you give in to it.
The Bible talks about bringing into captivity every thought. I think when you let those thoughts keep running loose.
Yeah, you deliberately allow. It's just like the old preacher says, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop him from building a nest in your hair. You can't put it no better than that. There is a point where you're relishing it and you're enjoying it and you're deliberately thinking. You can sit there and you can sit right there and not make a move and not move your hands, feet, or nothing and sin in your mind. In your mind. That's what the Bible says. Or out of the heart. Out of the heart proceedeth evil things. Murder. You ever want to, like she said, you want to just beat somebody up? Sometimes you pray. Or you get really, really mad and you say, oh, my husband, I wish you hate him. You know, you feel like that sometimes. And then you say, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me. And it goes away. I don't know if I can tell you where that line is. There's a line somewhere you cross and it becomes sin. Did somebody have her hand up over here? Murder. That's right. That's true. If you have hard feelings toward your husband or wife, the devil will see that, and boy, he'll jump on it. He sees a weakness, and he says, look what they did to you. Look, are you going to let them do you like this? Are you just going to sit back and take, and especially you women, he'll work on you. He'll say, you're just going to let him run over you? You're just going to let him... And then to the men, he'll say, are you going to let her smart mouth continue? You going to let her just talk to you like this? And he'll put that in your head and put that in your head. And you got to say, Lord, I plead the blood over my thoughts. Lord, I plead... Listen, if he needs God, let the Lord get him. If she needs God, let the Lord get her. Don't you punish her, because you might get in trouble. It's not your job to punish each other for your sins. It's your job to trust the Lord and do right and keep your heart right toward your mate. And God, vengeance is mine, I will repay. If you feel like you have to make somebody pay for their sins, you're really saying, God, I don't believe what you said. Because he promised, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And what you should do is just back off and say, Lord, I'm glad I ain't getting what I deserve. Help me to put up with whatever I got to put up with, do right and all that. I don't know. I don't know where all that becomes a sin. I know for a while it ain't, and then I know after there's a point it is, because I felt guilt. I'm just kidding. Right now. We all understand that. If you understand that, say amen. Okay, we're made out of the same stuff you are. We all understand that. Sometimes marriages go through times when, oh boy, you think, if I ever get out of this, I will never. That's what everybody says. I will never do this. Whatever. You say that, and you'll be by yourself a while. You'll be thinking never. Anybody else, right quick? Sure he does. I sure do.
He's had two bestsellers with the Kennedy and Lincoln. He's got a number one bestseller now on the life of Christ. Have you heard of that?
Killing Jesus?
Killing Jesus.
Yeah.
The head of the cover on it, he denies the cross on the thing. And now, 1 Corinthians 1:18, I believe it is, says the preaching of the cross is to them that ought to perish foolishness. He claims it was just like a T on top.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about that book. I've heard of it. That's all.
I heard him in an interview, and he wouldn't put any of the miracles of Jesus in there, because he said that he was just talking on the Romans, on other things, but he's taking you away from Jesus as God in the situation. He said there was no experts there to verify these miracles at the time. He's a Harvard educated man, said millions of copies, and sent millions of people to hell with
him. Oh yeah, because there's a lot of people that think they take what he says as gospel, and he's Catholic, and a sorry Catholic. He's a sorry Catholic. He believes all the Old Testament is allegorical. Yeah. I heard him say on there one time, he was talking about all the wars and the Old Testament stuff, and he said I don't know anybody that believes that really happened. I heard him say that. I said, man, you ain't as educated as you think you are. I know thousands of people believe that really happened.
You can tell he's out of Harvard.
Yeah.
That's the last place I'm born to have an education.
Amen. He's a brilliant man, but he's just been taught wrong. The devil's deceived him. Anybody else? Right quick. What Karen brings up is something we all wonder and struggle with. Where? Because most of y'all folks don't really see. I mean, you don't get drunk. You don't beat your wife, or you don't cheat or nothing like that. But you struggle with that mind, boy. That mind gets wicked. And The Bible said out of the heart proceedeth evil things. Murders, adultery, whatever. All that big list of things that the Lord... There's 13 evils in the human heart. There in the book of Mark. Idolatries and false gods and false worship and all kind of stuff like that. And as Brother Derek brought out the right verse, we're to pray and read our Bible and pray that we bring every thought into captivity. And that's an everyday job. That don't just happen. Nobody's gifted. Nobody's that right with God automatically. It's a continual dying out to self every day. Tell you what I've been doing. I got just a little bit behind in my Bible reading. I'm going to be all right, Lord willing. I finished the New Testament twice, and I read the Old Testament, of course, every year. And I've been reading Ezekiel. And this morning, I read extra chapters in Ezekiel. I love them first few chapters of Ezekiel. All them wheels, the middle wheels and everything, because that is so UFO sounding. And talking about the glory of the Lord, but man, them lights and creatures, and it said the spirit of a living creature was in them things. A spirit of a living creature was in them things. Man, that's fascinating. But anyway, I studied about that stuff, and I was reading, and I read two or three chapters of Ezekiel while I was on the phone this morning. Do you believe that? Somebody was just talking, and I was just reading away, and I was getting about half of what I was reading, half of what they were saying, the most important part of what they were saying. And I hope it wasn't none of y'all. But I do that a lot. Because the way I look at it, the Lord laid it on so-and-so's heart to call me and hinder me from my Bible reading, and I ain't going to let it happen. That's the way I look at it. So I keep reading my Bible while I'm listening to them, and I'm listening to them, and I'm talking. And some preacher called me from somewhere, Kentucky this evening. I talked to another one from Arizona this morning. And I was just going to read my Bible. And you know what? I read extra in my Bible, and I got the feeling, I got the thinking, glory to God, this is getting in my soul. This thing is real. And I'm telling you, people, right here is our weapon against temptation. It's not your willpower. It's not your dedicated life that you think you live. It's not this right here. How I know that? How did Jesus rebuke the devil? Scripture. 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 When the devil tempted Jesus, Scripture. The devil tempted Jesus, Scripture. The devil tempted Jesus, Scripture. Three verses out of Deuteronomy. Bam, bam, bam. And he rebuked the devil. That's our victory over temptation. I was going to get to that tonight, but I won't have time. The types of temptation, I'm just going to read these off and I'll let you go. Unbelief. Did you know unbelief is a sin? And the devil will tempt you. You ever doubt the Bible? That's a sin. You know that, don't you? It's a sin. You're saying, I don't believe you, God. That's a wicked thing to do, y'all. Telling God you don't believe Him is probably worse than smoking pot. You'd die before you do that. I never smoke pot. I never will smoke pot by God's grace. Never have, never will. But sometimes we say, well, Lord, I know you said that, but do you really? That's a wicked sin. Unbelief. Worship the devil. Pride. Pleasure. Power. Society. Like Lot's wife. Lot's wife. She watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians all the time. That's what Lot's wife did. Turned into a pillar of salt, brother. Possessions, money, house, land, car. And then, of course, the flesh. The sins of the flesh. All of those are ways the devil tempts us. But we're gonna stop right there because my flesh is hungry. I'm just kidding you. I'm just messing with y'all. We're going to stop right there tonight. Let's enjoy living for God, but fight temptation with the sword of the Spirit. For example, if you have a tendency to lose your temper, get you some verses on losing your temper. Somebody know one? Be ye angry and sin not. Be ye angry and sin not. Be ye angry and sin not. It's okay to get mad, but don't sin. What does that mean? Hit them. Now, I don't know. I don't know. Be ye angry and sin not. Man, you raising kids, you got teenagers, you need that verse. You need that verse because they will push you to your limit. A teenager or a little 8 or 9 year old, they'll push you to your limit, brother. And they'll make you sin if you ain't careful. A teenager will because they'll push you and try you And you'll say, "You're driving me crazy." If you're not careful, you'll have bad thoughts in your head. Your husband, your wife, be angry and sin not. Let's say you had alcohol and you have a temptation toward alcohol or a weakness toward that. Learn you some verses. And when you pass by that beer in the store, you say, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever deceived thereby is not wise." Just use Scripture. Use Scripture. Don't use your willpower. The Lord didn't say use your willpower. He said use it by the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Anybody have a question? Right quick. I hope this has helped you tonight, Brother Mike. That's what it says. And you have to keep it beat down. I always say it's like this. You're not going to completely eradicate this flesh. But it's like weeds growing up. If you feed this flesh, lust and sinful desires and stuff, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. But you spray Roundup on them weeds. That's the Word of God and prayer. Spray it down, it dies down. The root's still there, but it dies down. If you let it, it'll take over your life, like weeds will take over your garden and your house. You have to keep it sprayed down with the Word of God. You know where I get that? Paul said, "I die daily." You don't just get the victory over and say, "Glory to God, I quit that 8 years ago." You know, it'll be back tomorrow morning when you get up. So the way to keep it sprayed down with weed, with what you call it? What did I say a minute ago? Roundup. Yeah, spray it with Roundup is the Word of God and prayer. The Word of God and prayer. The closer you live for God, the more you go to church, the more you listen to preaching. Listen to preaching. It'll help you spray Roundup on them weeds of wicked desires. All right. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head's bowed and every eye's closed. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, you'd do something real in our hearts tonight. Have your way in our lives. Thank you for everybody that's here tonight. Help us, Lord, to resist temptation. You said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Help us to claim that verse as we go out of here tonight. Help every one of us to make up our mind that we'll endure those our own temptations, whatever they might be, and that you'll give us Scripture from the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to fight it with the sword of the Spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, God bless you. You're at liberty to go. Everybody fellowship a little bit. Be friendly. Don't miss Sunday school Sunday morning. Come pray and bring somebody with you. Don't miss Sunday school. God's got something special for us.